Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I think we're going to have a delightful time tonight. Our topic is Realities of Creation, which is a recent book by Maureen St. Germain. And she's our guest tonight. We're going to bring her on in just a minute. And, you know, I just wanted to take a moment and point out the fact that you are creation itself. You are the personification of the Creator. Don't look any farther than your own life, your own soul, your own purpose, that vision of your life as the best seat in the house for this chapter of our human story. How exciting is that? What a dynamic time to be alive. What an incredible life story for all of us, regardless of where we are in the journey of life itself. These are very powerful times to be alive. And it gives us opportunities to practice our own personal power. And I just want to commend you at growing your own personal power by showing up, by listening to the show tonight. And, you know, without further ado, I want to just jump right into it. Tonight, our guest, Maureen St. Germain, is a co-author of a book, Realities of Creation, the topic of the show tonight. And Maureen is a world-renowned metaphysical teacher, author, and the founder of Akashic Record Guides International. Her work takes her worldwide teaching advanced ascension techniques. She shares her unique perspective to provide innovative information, hosting TV shows in three different cities for 5 years, along with numerous radio shows and appearances, gives her a distinct edge. You know, I think we should just jump right into it and bring her on the show. Welcome to the show. I'm so delighted to have you today as a guest.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, Realities of Creation. How did you come about in writing a book like that?
I have written a number of books, and the woman who organized this particular program had originally started out as a group project of a telesummit, and the material was so profound, and we got such positive feedback that we were guided by Spirit to put it into a book, and then my book agent took it to the marketplace, and a publisher really liked it and brought it forward. So it represents the best work of a lot of spiritual teachers, including myself, and I am so excited to talk to your listeners about the higher self connection, because that's what I wrote about.
Well, can you give us a snapshot of where you're coming from with your writings and teachings, kind of let us know who we're listening to here?
Oh, sure. I grew up on a farm. I grew up Catholic, and I had a family. I had four sons who are now adults. I worked in the corporate world for about 25 years. At a certain point in that work, I started teaching metaphysical study groups, and at a point in time, I said to God, I would be willing to do this full time. And within 3 weeks, I was given a pink slip and a package to leave, and I took it, and I ran, and I never looked back. So I began teaching a metaphysical meditation known as the Merkaba, and it is based on sacred geometry and the divine proportion. And as I began teaching that, I grew exponentially in my own understanding of the universe, of cosmic law, of the wisdom that is available to us. In the process, we were asked to get permission from our own higher self to activate this powerful metaphysical meditation. And no one said what the higher self was. No one said how to do it. And so I went to the altar and said, okay, I would be willing to bring that information forward. But I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'd like some guidance. And Spirit was very accommodating and gave me the information to understand what the higher self was, to be able to explain it to people, and then to give me a tool, a set of protocols that take a very short period of time to give you 100% accuracy. So you're no longer trusting your intuition. You have a point of knowing. And what's the difference between trust and knowing? I trust that you and I will have a wonderful radio show, but I know the sun will come up. So there's an element, you know, when you trust that your friend's going to meet you for lunch, that they're going to show up. But, you know, if they get tied up in traffic or if their baby is sick, they might not show up. But I'm pretty sure, with absolute confidence, that the sun is going to come up tomorrow and that we're going to have another day. So there's a sense of knowing, and that same knowing can be applied to the higher self connection once you learn it, once you acquire the skill. And it is a lot of fun to acquire the skill because it's all play. It's all done in a very glad-hearted, open-minded, playful way. And it's so much fun to teach because people are astounded at how powerful it is and how accurate it is. So maybe first I should start out by saying what I mean by the higher self.
Sure.
So I believe that every one of us has a divine counterpart and that our higher self would be the equivalent of our heavenly self. So what our traditional religions teach us as being what we would be in heaven, that's the version of ourself that is the higher self. So it's the part of us that knows God and is connected to who we are as a personality. Now, for most people, that there's a division between who we are in the reality and who we are as a divine being that's connected to God. And that doorway is closed until we turn it on or open it up. So the way we open it up is by petitioning and by working with the higher self on a regular basis, to the point that once we have created that connection and we start asking, we actually get good information, and we find that that good information shows us at the ego level that we have another resource. And that other resource is our divine source. And this is very similar to what you and I talked about before we were on air yesterday. And we both conclude and have concluded that the ego isn't necessarily to be subjugated, but to be allowed to hear the voice of the inner wisdom that can come through once we train ourselves to listen to it.
Right.
So one of the things that I do is I try to give people the example of how we do this and take people through the seven rules, really, the protocol. But, you know, maybe you have some questions you want to ask me.
Well, I was just going to comment that I like the context that you put this in that it's lighthearted, it's playful. It's a very light and yet vibrant aspect of ourselves. It's not a drudgery or, you know, now we're going to have to go do push-ups or, you know. It's literally expanding and reconnecting us with our own truth. And to have that such a lighthearted and uplifting aspect, that there's immediate benefits to that. I really like that context. Well, go ahead and share that context with us.
Okay. So the first thing I ask people to do is a little meditation where I ask them to close their eyes and invite their heart to open. And an easy way to let your heart open is to think of a pet or an infant, you know, a little one that doesn't have the ability to offend you yet. You know, children grow up and become adults. But, you know, when they're infants, all they do is appealing, and the same is true with our pets. You know, we love our pets. And so either one will do, and you close your eyes and you think of a little one, and it doesn't even have to be your pet, doesn't even have to be your infant. but you allow yourself to feel the love you have for a little one. And as you do so, your heart expands. And you say to that little one, in your thought, I love you. And you say it like three times. And then you send a beam of that love directly up. So you send it through your throat chakra, your third eye, your crown chakra, all the way up to your eighth chakra, which is the portal where your higher self is available. And you invite your higher self to join you where you are in your heart, because it is possible for your higher self to descend into your heart, but you have the choice to open to that, and you must create a space of love for the heart to descend into. So now that your heart and your higher self have joined, you now ask your higher self to work with you and to help you in your higher self communication. And then you ask your higher self, give me a symbol or signal for yes. And people can typically get a visual, like a color or a shape. Some people get a sensation in their body, like an itchy ear or a heaviness in their stomach for no, or a beautiful, peaceful feeling in their chest or their heart for yes. Some people actually have a taste sensation or a scent sensation. Whatever it is, you allow that to be known to you, and you write it down, because sometimes after you get it, then you doubt it. So you want to write it down and make sure that you've given yourself credit for whatever it is, however faint. And then you do the same thing for no, and you do the same thing for neutral. And then for 6 weeks, you follow this little protocol, and the protocol is a blast. It's a total blast. So the first thing you do, step one, is you figure out when is 6 weeks from now. And the reason we pick 6 weeks is because it's when the DNA does a complete shift. So we get new DNA every 6 weeks. So you pick today's date. Let's say today's date was September 1, then 45 days out would be October 15th. And the reason you pick the exact day 45 days from now is because it's far easier to remember a future date that you're moving towards than it is to say, well, when did we start that practice? When did we start doing that? But if you know you're going to do something between now and the 15th, let's say, of October, what it does, it also gives you a goal. It gives you a program to follow. That's the first rule, which is pretty easy. The second rule is you only ask your higher self yes, no questions. And that's pretty easy, too. You know, so you don't ask a question like, why did, you know, so-and-so do such-and-such? Instead, you ask, is it in my highest and best good to go to this restaurant tonight for dinner? Or if you're at the restaurant, maybe you ask your higher self, is it my highest and best good to eat this meal for dinner? No, what about this meal? No, what about this meal? Yes. And then you take that meal. Now, that's the second question. The third question is the antithesis of this, meaning you don't ask any questions that are important. So you're not allowed to ask about something you really care about. So if you saw a banana cream pie on your way into that restaurant and you're thinking that would make a wonderful dessert, don't be asking about the banana cream pie, because you should have it and enjoy it and not worry about it. If, however, you really don't care, then go ahead and ask. Because one of the rules is, if you ask, you must follow through. And there's a reason for it, because it's a practice like learning a language. So when you learn a language, they often tell you, don't try and learn two foreign languages at the same time, because you will get confused. So your goal here is to focus on learning the language of the higher self. And the yes, no, and neutral symbols or signals are just the tip of the iceberg. Now, the next piece is, you don't ask, as I've said before, you don't ask unimportant, you don't ask important questions unless you need to make an exception. And everybody needs to make an exception once in a while. You know, you have to decide for work what vacation schedule you're going to be on, and you want to check in on that. Or maybe you get invited to go on a special trip and you want to do it, but you aren't 100% sure whether it's in your, you know, highest and best good. So then you make those exceptions. The next part is, after you've followed these rules and you practice this for the 45 days, you only ask about things you don't care about. And this is very funny, because people think that they don't care about certain things, but they do. You know, if you're going on a date and you always get great compliments if you wear red, you're going to put on a red dress because that's cool. You know, it's going to make you look good. Now, one of the things that is part of this, you know, the seven little rules is don't use any other form of divination. That means don't use a pendulum, don't use muscle testing, don't use cards, don't use any of that. And set all of that aside because, again, you don't want to compromise your ability to hear or experience the symbols or signals. Now, I want to tell a couple of stories because I think that'll really bring home the point. One time a woman in the class was given this technique and her ear started to itch. And she calms herself down and says, okay, body, now, you know, you've got to calm down. We're getting the symbol for the higher self. I'm going to get the good symbol. And then her toe started to itch. So she again calmed herself down, you know, it's got to be okay. You know, we got to get that symbol from the higher self. And then her whole body started to itch. So then she said, okay, I'll take the itchy ear. And then what was even funnier is a woman in the same class sitting across from her in a big room of like 30 people had the same experience. And the two of them just started laughing because they said, oh my goodness, I had the same experience as you did. Now, another example is you don't ask predictive questions about how to make a decision. So you don't ask, is Johnny going to be at the party? Because if he's going to be there, I'm not going. Instead, you just ask, is it my highest and best good to go to this event? And sometimes you'll be told yes, sometimes you'll be told no, sometimes you'll get a neutral. Whenever you get a neutral, there's another path that we can follow. And that's a whole other like set of information, which I'm not going to go into right now, but it's in the book. One of the things that happens, though, is you are choosing to be playful. So one time when a woman came into class and she was dressed in a very interesting combination of jewelry and clothing, and sometimes women kind of look each other over, and she noticed that a woman was doing that, and she looked at the woman and she said, don't even ask. My higher self dressed me this morning.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, everyone cracked up because that's your willingness to do something. That's your willingness to be available to be playful. Now, here's what happens. Because you're doing this for 6 weeks and you're only checking in on unimportant things, you start to get residual feedback of the events that you have chosen. So when you decide to go to this restaurant because your higher self told you that was the best choice, then someone you've been looking for the past 5 weeks shows up and you get to run into them and have the conversation you've been wanting to have. Or if you're sitting at the restaurant and you order a meal and everyone else orders something else because it looked really good to them, turns out you got the best meal and you can kind of smile to yourself saying, well, I asked my higher self. Sometimes your higher self will give you information that seems counterintuitive, but if you've asked your higher self, it means your higher self is taking into consideration everything that you care about and everything that you may not know about. So one time I was told on a rainy day, yes, you need to take your umbrella. So then I had two umbrellas. I had the collapsible one and I had the cane one. Nope, take the cane one. So I carried that cane umbrella around all day long. I never got caught in a rainstorm. But after dinner, I tripped on the sidewalk, and that cane kept me from falling. So little by little, after the 6 weeks, what happens is your ego's standing back. Your ego is supposed to be not involved in these decisions because they're unimportant. They're only asking about stuff your ego isn't attached to. And what happens is the ego's looking at this and saying, you know what, that higher self, it's got the goods. So it's just like when you and I were to talk, and if I said to you, you know, I don't know if you're a gambler. I'm not a gambler either, but let's just say I said I went to the races, and I've won $10,000 in the last 6 months. You know, I won $3,000 last week. I won $5,000 a month ago, and, you know, I don't know, $8,000 the time before that. You want to come with me next time? Most people will say, yeah, I think I do. And what are you going to bet? You're going to bet what I bet because I've had such a good winning streak. So this is what happens. The ego and the higher self are no longer in competition because the ego can see clearly the benefit of the higher self wisdom and the higher self knowledge and isn't needing to compete. So I kind of joke around that the ego and the higher self get married and live happily ever after because there is no competition. And that's kind of where you arrived as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It, yeah, you know, so, it...
the ego, like you had mentioned, it's not like you're there to abolish the ego. In fact, I love everything you're saying. Once you get your ego to trust the benefits, the value of staying connected to source, it lets the ego off the hook. I mean, the ego, it's like you're looking at a flipping map, trying to drive cross country through the desert, mowing down cactus and whatnot because you're so far off the road because it's all ego. And then the soul's like, hey, I got a map and I know how to drive. How about you hand that steering wheel up to me?
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's an interesting thing because it's hard to let your ego trust the higher self, which is why this protocol is so powerful, because it says, let's do this for 6 weeks. Let's play for 6 weeks. Let's only ask about unimportant stuff. So the whole time, your ego is still observing, but it's not participating because you've already established that whatever we ask the higher self about is stuff the ego really doesn't care about. You know, I really don't care whether I get broccoli tonight or green beans. Either one is good for me. I don't really care. I have no preference. And when you go to those kind of decisions and then you get outcomes that you could not have anticipated, it sets the stage to create not only trust, but knowing. And that absolute knowing that arrives at the end of that 6 weeks is so irrefutable that you can then ask about other things. For example, after the 6 weeks practice, I tell people you can go to open-ended questions. So then you get a hit or a message, get up from your chair right now and go to the drugstore. And you're thinking, I don't need anything at the drugstore. I was watching a TV show. I want to sit here. Nope, you need to do this right now. So then you can say, higher self, is this my higher self telling me to get up and go to the drugstore right now? Yes. And so you do, because you have a knowing that your higher self is giving you accurate information. And what happens is then your intuition and your connection grows, because you now have a fail-safe to double check every piece of information that comes in, every idea that comes in. You know, my husband doesn't think he's very intuitive, but he's constantly getting good information. And when I say, well, check in with your higher self, what does it say? He'll say, well, I think it's telling me to do that. And of course, I'm checking in too. And that's another thing, you know, when you have somebody close to you that is practicing the same practice, you can both check in. Is this my higher self telling me blah, blah, blah? And only your higher self is allowed to answer yes. And that's a law of the universe. If you specify higher self, and you ask the question and name by name, you will always get the truth. Now, every once in a while, people will say to me, well, I didn't get an answer when I asked my higher self such and such. And I said, you know, I had the same problem when my kids were little and the cookies disappeared out of the cookie jar and no one knew who ate the last cookie. Of course, your lower self or your desire body or your emotions aren't going to admit that was my idea tell you to go, you know, try and hook up with that girl. You know, you just, that part of you is not going to step up and admit it. But if it is your higher self giving you an idea, your higher self will validate it. And that's your fail-safe. That's how come you can move from trusting your higher self to knowing your higher self. Very powerful.
I think it really changes the paradigm of what it means to be human. I mean, if you look at the average storyline of our human demeanor over the past centuries, there really isn't a widespread model of really powerful people showing up in a confident and absolute way. And when we're talking about connecting to that divine wisdom in a real-time now situation, which I think is very powerful because you bring it with you throughout your entire day, I think we're going to start seeing storylines of very powerful people coming out of the collective from what seemed like everyday living, a commonplace role in life, and that they're going to sprout and expand, and that'll be the new norm. in the sense that...
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I tell people. This is the new normal. And I have a great example. I know a man who is vice president of one of the nation's largest retailers. And he's the vice president of a big division. And he's one of my students. And he was in China on a buying trip. And he was buying furniture. And, you know, you have to approve the samples. And if whatever sample you approve, then that's what you live with. So if there's a problem with it, then if it gets replicated, that's too bad because you signed off on it. So he's looking at this table, and he knows there's something wrong, but he's not sure what it is. So he asks his higher self. And his higher self actually says to him, one of the legs is shorter than the others. And so then he says to his higher self, how much shorter is it? And his higher self said, it's a quarter of an inch shorter on one side. So he tells the Chinese company, you know, there's not, something not right with the table, and one of the legs is shorter. And they said, no, they're all fine. And he said, no, one of the tables, one of the legs is actually shorter. And they said, no, it's not. And he said, yes, it is. And in fact, it's a quarter of an inch shorter than the other legs. And they still argued with him. So he said, get a ruler and measure it. So he's standing about 20 feet from the table. And they measured it, and they came back to him, and they said, you're right, it is a quarter of an inch shorter. And then they said, with absolute credulousness, how could you know that? And, of course, all he could do was laugh, because he asked his higher self, and his higher self told him. And sure. I've been in crazy situations. I mean, you know, when my kids were young and at home, teenagers, you know, I didn't have cell phones when my kids were home, and I could ask my higher self, are they going to make curfew? No. Are they okay? Yes. Do I need to be concerned? No. Is it in my highest and best good to go ahead and go to bed now? Yes. And then I'd put a note on their pillow, you know, wake me up when you get home. And what mother, a single mother, could do that? But, you know, I was very busy. I was working a couple of jobs, and I needed rest. And because of my higher self, I could know that everything was fine. One time when my son was involved in a very serious accident and they kept him overnight and they put him through an MRI and they told me the results of the fractures in his skull, I asked my higher self, is he going to be okay? Yes. No worry. Just calling in the angels, calling in the angelic realm to support him and help him. But I didn't get into worry. I didn't get into frustration. I didn't get into fear about what might happen, because I'd already been assured that he was fine and it would be fine. Another time when I was driving from Minneapolis to Madison, Wisconsin, between a workshop, and I used to live in Madison, Wisconsin, I was passed by a semi. And it was late at night, and as the semi comes past me, my higher self says, you need to get in the slipstream of this truck. And my sons had explained to me that that's not cool and don't do that. So I knew not to, but here I am being told. So I ask, is this my higher self telling me get behind this truck in the slipstream? Yes. So I did. I was in the airfoil behind the truck, pretty darn close, very uncomfortable for me. We're coming up on an interchange, and I know that I have to change and go onto a new freeway, and I'm wondering, well, what's going to happen? Well, the truck was going the same direction. So then I asked again, am I to stay with the truck? Yes, stay with the truck. So I did. Then the truck ends up on the berm of the road, and he's still doing 60 miles an hour, and I'm right behind him in that same spot, right behind him within the airfoil. And higher self, am I still supposed to be here? Yes, stay there. And another car comes the other way, the wrong way, on the interchange. When we get off the interchange and onto the new freeway, I ask my higher self again, do I need to stay with this truck still? No, you're fine. Because I was so close to that truck, and because the trucker knew what to do with that car coming the wrong way, God knows what that other car was doing, I was fine.
Yeah.
But if I had been faced with deciding which way to go or to get out of the way, that guy could have hit me anyway. You know, I've heard not so nice stories about what might have happened, and I don't want to go there. I want to claim, you know, I was told by my higher self what to do and how to handle it, and I was fine.
And very nice.
You can't like you said, you're plowing through a field. You cannot do those things if you don't have a higher self connection that you trust. And the reason you trust it is because you know that your higher self is giving you good information. And the reason you know is because you've done the practice. Now, I tell people, I ask every day my higher self. I ask every day to show me my symbols or signals. And the reason I do that is because they actually could change, and it's a form of humility. I'm not going into this world this day without being willing to submit my devotion to God to God. I'm not just going to do what I think I'm supposed to do. I'm going to check in and ask. And I use that term, check in, meaning I'm asking my higher self, what is it I am to do today? What is it that I am supposed to be on this day? And one day, I was kind of teasing one of my adult sons and joking around, you know, one of his friends was going to let me drive his BMW when I was visiting because he was taking the class and he wanted to impress me that he was going to be generous with his car. And my son looked at me and he said, Mom, I don't think he checked in with his higher self before he said yes to you on that one. And, of course, I burst out laughing because, you know, the innuendo was pretty obvious, you know. So even your family will catch on. And even though my sons don't necessarily use this tool themselves because they're still in their discovery phase, I know that they get it, that I know. You know, in fact, I wouldn't even be married to my husband if I hadn't listened to my higher self. Because when I met my future husband, he was a very nice person, but he was geographically undesirable because I am an East Coast person, and I wouldn't want to be with someone who is a West Coast-based person. And yet, my higher self said when he made the first overtures towards me, aren't you going to check in? And so I said to him, well, I don't know you well enough to entertain such an offer, but I always check in with my higher self. So I'll get back to you because I didn't want to check in while I was on the phone with him. For obvious reasons, I wanted to make sure I was not being influenced one way or the other. So, you know, the higher self connection is so powerful. One time I had a student reach out to me when I was teaching in Paris and sent me an email and said, I see you're going to be in Paris. Would you have a cup of tea with me? So we met, and she said, the reason I wanted to see you is because I wanted to tell you that this tool you taught me, how to connect with a higher self, has saved me hundreds of dollars. And when I was setting up my business here, every decision I had to make, I checked in with my higher self. And she says, my friends would say, you know, that'll never work. You know, we've tried that, blah, blah, blah. And it would work. And then they would say to me, how could you know that it would work for you? And she smiles and said, all I did would be to check in with my higher self. So it's a very wonderful tool that anyone can meet. And even if you don't get a symbol or signal, you know, there's every once in a while there's somebody who, you know, doesn't get a visual or doesn't get a feeling, or maybe they get a feeling but they dismiss it. You know, that doesn't count, you know, like the lady with the itchy ear. There is a workaround, and that workaround I explain in the book so that you do have a way to go into this 6 weeks of playful practice. And you approach the practice like just like you would approach the driving range. You know, you take a bucket of balls, you're hitting the balls, trying to go to a certain area. Or if you play basketball, you're taking a bin of balls and you're shooting hoops. You're not counting any of the balls that don't go where you want. But when they do go where you want, you pay attention and you replay that. And that's what happens. While you're in your practice period, you're being playful, you're having fun. One time an engineer called me and he said, it's not working. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, for example, on my way home from work, I'm asking my higher self if the light will change. And I started to laugh. And I said, oh, Peter, you're trying to evaluate your higher self as you go along. And he said, no, I really don't care when I get home. And I said, no, you're keeping score. You're not allowed to keep score. If you're keeping score, that means you've made it important. You're not even allowed to keep score during the 6 weeks. For 6 weeks, you're just fooling around having fun. You're not keeping score. You're not paying any attention whatsoever to whether your higher self information is good or not good, because that's the whole point of play. And it is only in hindsight that the ego is able to assess, oh, wow, the higher self always gave good information and gave us more than what I could have given any other way. And there's a lot to the art of asking the right question. You know, I will never forget the time a woman called me and she said, you're never going to believe this, but I asked, was meeting a friend for dinner, and we both had to drive 50 miles to meet in the middle. So we wanted to go to this one restaurant, and I asked my higher self, is it open on Monday? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, restaurants are closed on Monday. And we got, no, it wasn't open. So we agreed to meet on Tuesday at the restaurant. The restaurant was still closed because they'd gone out of business. We forgot to ask that question. And that's why I joke around, you know, don't ask the second last question. Ask the last question. And that's very important. It's hard to comprehend what the last question is. But one of the ways to know is, am I using this information to make a decision? Well, the decision is the last question then. Go ask that question. So you don't ask, is it going to rain today? You ask, do I need to carry an umbrella or wear a raincoat? Is it in my highest and best good to do that? And so as you begin to understand the protocol, you always use the higher self by name, higher self, blah, blah, blah. You always ask, is it in my highest and best good to? And then you fill in the blank with whatever the question is, and you try to find things that you don't care about. Now, some people are real control freaks. I will never forget the time that I was observing my sister at a family gathering, just running the show like crazy, and I finally said to her, you know, you're being a control freak. And she said, me? What about you? And, of course, that's when I realized we're all control freaks. It's just a matter of degree. You know, what degree are we willing to let go of control, you know, whether it's putting the ketchup in a certain spot in the refrigerator or the way we hang our clothes, whatever it is. You know, we have these little dramas that we have for ourselves to make us feel good and make us feel comfortable. So if you have a lot of things that you really care about, then you have to work hard and you have to make a good list of things you're willing to ask your higher self. So if you really care about a certain piece of jewelry that you wear with this dress, then don't ask your higher self. Just put it on and be happy. If you don't care about what food you eat today, then ask your higher self. If you're on a restricted diet, don't be asking about stuff that's on restriction, because that's not, you're asking about stuff that's important. And so you've already made a commitment to be on a restricted diet. Stay away from that. And of course, the classic is, if you're a smoker, don't ask your higher self if you should quit smoking during your practice period, because that's important. Even though everyone thinks that perhaps smoking isn't good for you, it's not in your best interest to do it during your practice period, because that's important to you in the moment. Because people who have a smoking habit sometimes have a smoking addiction, and it's pretty hard to break that. So don't be asking things that are important to you, whether they're important to you emotionally or mentally or physically. Instead, pick things that you don't care about which way you go. You know, do I care about the route I take to work? No. Okay, well, in that case, ask your higher self. Should I take this route? No. Should I take this route? No. One time when my children were little and I was teaching them how to do this, one of my sons, who has only one kidney, was really struggling on what he should have to drink. So his father had put soda in the refrigerator, and he asked his higher self, nope, don't have the soda. What about this juice? Nope, don't have the juice. What about tea? Nope, don't have the tea. Mom, there's nothing left. Well, did you ask about water? No. So sometimes the higher self will give you an answer, and you might not like it.
What happens when you start getting your higher self involved in your day-to-day life, and you can't, like you've been saying, you can't rush it, you can't force it. And I really like this 6-week process that you've outlined, because the ego by its own accord wouldn't default to trusting the soul. And by having this playful, non-critical interaction, that's where that trust happens. And once that your ego can genuinely trust that guidance and actually get to the point of preferring the guidance, then a much bigger aspect of yourself, your soul, is showing up in your everyday life. And can you speak about how your life has changed? If you look at the thread of your life as you bring that soul inspiration into your everyday living, how your life has changed?
I'd be happy to. And I want to highlight one of the choices of words you use, and that is that you actually would get to the point where your ego would prefer the higher self wisdom, that soul wisdom that's coming through, because now you've made a channel for it. You've given it a voice, and so it's going to get validated. So in my case, I've always been connected and plugged in. So for me, I've always had a sense of inner direction, and for as long as I remember, I knew I wanted to help people, and I knew I wanted to be close to God, and I could see things that other people couldn't see. But when I learned the higher self practice, and again, living day to day by that choice, what happened is all resistance seemed to melt away. And even when things didn't seem to be a good idea initially, even though it was a higher self decision, you would see in the long run at how awesome it turned out. And, I always tell people, when you do the higher self practice, after you get past your 6 weeks, it's always a good idea, if you really want to do something and you've already asked your higher self, go ahead and don't follow your higher self, because that'll give you an example of, oh yeah, my higher self did know. And for me, it was a simple thing of going to the movies with a friend. And I was visiting a town where these ladies were at, and they had already made a plan for Saturday night, and that was my only available time to visit with them. And they said, we're not going to change our date night, but if you want to come, you can come along. And I asked my higher self, should I go to this art movie with them? And my higher self said no. So I thought, well, I really want to see these ladies. I really like them. I'm just going to go. And I did. And the movie was a dog. It really was a horrible art film. And it was so bad that I wanted to leave. And I rarely want to leave a movie. So we come out. And I say to my friends, did you like that movie? And they said, no, actually, we didn't. We wanted to leave, but we didn't want to hurt your feelings. And I laughed to myself, because that's exactly how I felt. And I thought, see, I didn't follow my higher self. That's the only time I need to do that, is once. And then on the other side, there's things that totally astound me. When I was in a place of being available for a relationship, and I was open to that, and I met the man who is now my husband, I didn't find any objection to him, but because he was living on the West Coast, I didn't want to consider him because he was too far away, and I didn't want to have a long-distance relationship. And, I'm living out of a suitcase anyway, traveling so much and teaching in so many places. And each time I got invited to do something or he wanted to come, my higher self would say, it's okay, go ahead. And I remember at one point when I got invited to do something that was 3 months in the future, and I was astounded that this man was making a plan for 3 months from now. And I asked my higher self, and my higher self said yes. And I remember at the ego level thinking, well, I guess this relationship's going to last more than 3 months. And when you're dating, you never know what's going to happen, right? And so
sure.
At a certain point, when I was realizing that this was becoming very serious and that we really enjoyed each other very much, I didn't know what to do, because I did not want to not live on the East Coast, and I knew he did not want to not live on the West Coast. So I asked my higher self, what were we to do? What am I to do with this relationship? And my higher self said, build a bridge. That had not occurred to me. And then later I was told, stay in New York and stay on the West Coast. Have two homes. Now, lots of people have two homes. Most of them are not East and West. most of them are north and south, you know, like a summer home
right,
or whatever.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So it wasn't exactly in my realm of ideas that would be pleasing to me. So I'm going to close that window a little more. It's only open a tiny bit, but my neighbor must be building something. It's been so amazing to participate in life and to know what we're to do. As a matter of fact, it's a great story. When my husband first appeared on the scene, he wanted to host me for a workshop. And my logistics manager called me on the phone and she said, "Did you see that email from that guy in Seattle?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." And she said, "Did you check in on whether or not you should work with him?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." And she said, "I did too. What'd you get?" And I said, "I got no." "What did you get?" "I got no too." And so she said, "What do we do?" And I said, "Well, let's check in again and ask, does it mean no, not now, or no, never?" Because who would go to the trouble to try and reach out to someone like me to bring me to their community, to bring me into their group, and not be halfway decent? So, but we're still checking in because that's what we do. So the answer was no, not now. And so I told her, "Well, just tell him that we are fully booked," and we were till the end of the year, and would he be willing to pick up a cancellation if one opens up? And he said he would, and I forgot about him. I completely forgot about him. And then, you know, later in the year when I had a cancellation, like 6 months later, I called my logistics manager and I said, "I've got this cancellation. I've checked in and I was told that I was to move the workshop to Seattle, but I don't know anybody in Seattle." And she said, "Well, what about that guy?" And I said, "What guy?" And she said, "You know, that guy that wrote blah, blah, blah." And she reminds me, and I said, "Well, do you have all that stuff?" And she says, "Of course, I keep it all." And I said, "Okay, well, why don't you reach out to him?" And that's when I met him. Well, if you go back in history, you will find that when he first reached out to me, I was dating someone, and so was he. But when we finally set up for the later event back in August, neither one of us were dating anybody. And we were both pretty cool about that and not needing to be in a relationship because we've been a little bit burned out by what we've been through. So we were both in a good place to meet somebody and not have any attachment to how it would come out. That was the universe setting us up for the divine timing.
Well, those are impressive stories that shares how having that higher connection with your soul can influence your life. But let's take a step back and look at your platform and how you interact with clients and people. Do you do one-on-ones with clients, or do you teach workshops, or do you work over the internet? Can you give us a snapshot as to your modalities?
Yes, I actually do all of them. I teach workshops on the higher self. I teach workshops on manifestation and sacred geometry. I have DVDs that teach the Merkaba meditation from that other cycle that when I was teaching that sacred geometry event. I also give Akashic Records readings. I teach people and certify people to read for others. I have numerous guided meditations, and my guided meditations are very unique because they are always written in the first person, singular, and they are always written in a way that there's pauses after each phrase, so that you can say your version. So when we call in Archangel Michael and we ask him to help us find our connection with God and to follow the will of God, because Archangel Michael is on that first ray of the will of God, then there's a space for you to say what you want to say. And when you call in Chamuel, the Archangel for Relationships, you have a space to enter your own concern about your own relationships. So my guided meditations, a lot of them have a space for you to repeat after me, which makes them very, very powerful. I also am a musician, so I write all the background music, but I like to think that the background music is guided by spirit and that it is heavenly music that's inspired by the divine. And you can reach me on my website, maureensaintgermain.com. So that's MaureenStGermain germain.com. I always have a freebie on my website. And right now I have a free meditation called Divine Government Meditation. And that meditation is to bring in the divine self of every leader, whether it's your boss at work or the president of your country, and to help that person be their most evolved self in the moment. And what people don't realize is that when we say nasty things about a leader, we're actually throwing a black cloud on them. And when we call in the angels to help them, we're removing those black clouds and we're making it a channel for them to follow, like a rut in the road, that they can find their way to make a decision that might be better than they would have made otherwise. So it's a very powerful meditation. It's not very long. It's like 7 or 8 minutes long, and it really covers from soup to nuts, from the beginning of whoever's in charge of your life to, you know, the head of your company or your country. Finally, I have a closing gift that I would like to give all your listeners, and that is a way to create a divine connection in a very simplistic way every day in an easy, fun way. And that is to say, I am asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with. And that elevates everything around us.
Well, very nice. We do have a few minutes left. Can you tell us about your books?
Oh, yes. I've written a book called Be a Genie, and that's a very powerful manifestation book. Many people who have read The Secret said that this book gives them the tools and the understanding that they didn't get in The Secret. People who like sacred geometry will love the Phoenix Sequence that shows the mathematical formula of creation and how to apply it for yourself. So it's a fun, secular type book in that it invites people to move into their divine awareness without being preachy or anything like that. Then I have a book called Beyond the Flower of Life, and it's really a book about what to do after you've reached a certain level of mastery and you want to now dive deep and go and find the inner wisdom in you, clear out, you know, unresolved stuff that you haven't dealt with, a lot of the types of things that you work with as well, Les. So the skills that are found in the book Beyond the Flower of Life are tools to clear out unresolved anger and emotions, to clear out issues around you. Then there's a book I wrote called Reweaving the Fabric of Your Reality. And by the way, all my books are translated into Russian and Chinese and Italian. And so, you know, they're being read all over the world. So this book called Reweaving the Fabric of Your Reality is about self-transformation and how to clear energies, how to clear out inappropriate energies, not only in you, but also in your family members. And people don't realize, but a lot of times, inappropriate behavior is really being driven by a entity or a discarnate, someone who's died and has an emotional drama they want to replay. And they move into somebody who's willing and available. And then that role plays out through the person and they get the fuel they need by causing reactions and upset. And we can clear them out very easily by a simple process that's taught in that book. And then finally, the book Realities of Creation, which teaches the higher self connection and how to access your divine self and, you know, how to make use of this. Now, a lot of people in this higher self connection will say, well, I already have a guide, I already have angels or something like that. And my response to that is, you know, your angels and your guides want you to connect with your soul. They want you to connect with your higher self because we are all becoming the higher self. We are all embodying the divine portion of us, and we're all becoming that aspect. Like you said at the beginning, it's the new normal. It's the new now.
Well, very nice. You know, an hour can go by pretty fast. I want to make sure I thank you for sharing such a passionate story, such a passionate sharing that you have. It's a very heart
felt space where you come from, and it's been a delight having you on the show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real delight to find a kindred spirit who's arrived in the same place as me from a different path. It's very cool, isn't it?
It's very nice. We were comparing notes the other day, and it was pretty much we're both saying the same thing.
Yeah. It's delightful. So I am so grateful for the opportunity to share my passion and to share my tools. And it is my true delight to work with people one-on-one. I even have a new program called the Ascension Institute, which is a year-long training, an intensive that people can apply for. And we sit down and figure out if it's a good match, because it's a pretty big emotional commitment. And I want to work with a few people who are ready to take themselves to a whole new level.
Well, very nice. Well, thanks for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking with Maureen St. Germain, and the topic tonight is realities of creation. You know, to connect with your higher self, to connect with that aspect of yourself that really had a vision for your life before you were even born, has got this idea of what's possible for your life that oftentimes our ego can even scoff at because it seems too big or too real to show up. But when you start trusting that higher connection within your own being, and then you follow it up with action, it's like the ego is the lowest common denominator. If your ego is not on board, it's not going to happen. Because we're really here for the human experience. We came here for the human experience, and it's our human self, our ego self, that needs to get on board. Nothing has to happen. We don't have to get on board. We always have free will. But I tell you what, when you can make a reflex, because there's experience, your ego has experience with the wisdom of that higher self. When you can develop a reflex, your higher self can show up all day long throughout your entire day. And there's a sense of ease. There's a sense of grace that comes from that. And I suggest at the end of the day, when it's time to put your head on the pillow, there's a deep sense of satisfaction that shows up in your life, a deep sense of fulfillment. Because if you just live in your mind all day and you just live in your ego, and there's certainly plenty of people that are doing that, the intention of your heart and your soul doesn't get any face time, doesn't get any real time in your everyday life. And so the fulfillment that you feel isn't really heartfelt, isn't really coming from your soul. But when you take action, real simple action every single day, it's not a hard thing to do. When you take action on that heartfelt inspiration and move closer to fulfilling that vision of your soul, then all three of you, your ego, your heart, and your soul, are going, yes, we're doing it. This is happening. You go to bed genuinely satisfied and fulfilled. And I suggest that's the doorway to heaven on earth. The only time you're ever going to experience heaven is today. The only time you can enjoy your life is today. If you make a habit of enjoying your life today, you'll be in fine form for enjoying tomorrow too. And what the hell, by the end of your life, you will have lived a satisfying and fulfilled life. What a gift to give yourself. What a model to mirror to your family dynamics and to the rest of humanity. You know, life's a wonderful thing when you can show up for it. I wrote a book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, and it's about getting your ego to trust the vision of your heart and your soul, how to purify your heart so you can be a vessel of divine love for humanity, and then how to bring that into an everyday practice. Wow. you know, it's my good pleasure to provide you these kinds of opportunities. I'm so glad you chose to join us today. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.